Welcome, everyone. I am Dale Kulis, and you are tuning into the bi-weekly Wednesday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast. And today we have on realtor Ben Olson, and he'll be talking with us today right after this.
Look, if you're feeling cramped, uncramp yourself. And you won't feel overwhelmed by the idea of selling your home while you buy another. And you won't come down with a case of the, oh no, what have we done? Because our network agents have the expertise to see you through the entire journey and get your family where they need to be. Now, let's go get you home.
Welcome back. We are with Ben Olson. How are we doing this fine Wednesday today?
We're doing awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, middle of the week, we're getting through it. It seems like a nice week so far, but of course, it looks like things will be closing out with dangerous, fun weekend ahead.
Well, knock on wood, you know, no more snow. That's just what I'm really hoping for. I'm really sick of walking to listings that don't get their snow removal done that's like 3 feet high. So that's why I always got my red wings on and jeans, because it's so wet out there and heavy in snow. So where I'm looking forward to the snow being gone as well.
Same. And I'm starting to get some good early indicators for spring ahead. It seems like you can see the snowbanks getting landscaped on Washington and Gateway Drive and all that. So I'm just hopefully it won't hit us this bad. They may be forecasting this weekend. So yeah, knock on wood, I'm with you. Yeah. So I don't know if you're ready to get right into it here. I know the theme we got for today are what buyers can expect for the real estate hunt.
Yep. So some extreme seller market hacks is something that I thought about kind of on the way over here, is us thinking about challenges, you know, that buyers are going through right now and what's up in the real estate market. People want to know, you know, people talk about it all the time to me, you know, how is the market? Well, right now the market is an extreme seller's market. It's super busy out there. I listed some homes recently that have sold within, you know, 1 day, 4 or 5 days within listing, and they sell for at least offer price or asking price or above, which is unbelievable right now in this type of market. So when you are looking at real estate, there are some tips and tricks that you can use to help negotiate the best deal and how to get the house under contract that you want, right? Number one is working with an agent that has a lot of brokerage listings, right? That's just number one. You want to work with an agent who has a busy brokerage, who has a lot of other agents working with them, and who is busy themselves, who can really understand the market and find homes pretty much before or as they come on the market. So every Tuesday, for example, we at Berkshire Hathaway, we have a sales meeting, and we go over things that are coming up, listings that we're getting secured over the next week and getting back. And when they're listed, we let our office know right away so that our office members can go in there and show them. And then other agents, too, will be able to see it on the MLS. They'll have another opportunity. But we really try to make it available for our agents, too, right away so that we can get their buyers in and get buyers in right away. And that's what every brokerage does. I mean, every brokerage wants to get their clients into their listings. That's just a given. So when you're thinking about picking a brokerage and picking an agent, you really want to pick a brokerage that's going to have enough market share for you to get in and see those homes.
Absolutely. It sounds like you guys absolutely got that all lined up, like just exactly how you explained. And so what would you say would be the next proper step or hack, as we were kind of
the next thing is just coming in with realistic expectations. That is honestly the biggest hack you could actually have, is just being realistic about the market. If you're wanting or have to buy a house, those are two different things, right? If you have to buy a house, then that's a whole different, then this is what we're going to be talking about. If you're motivated to buy a house, these are what you're talking about. If you're just browsing, if you're just checking it out, the market may be kind of unforgiving to you, right? So I'm talking about the people who are really motivated. Expect, number one, to look at asking price or to offer up to asking price, right? If they're asking 175, you pretty much should expect to go in at 175 or higher. If it's something that you want, and if your realtor has explained to you that it's priced well or whatever, your realtor will be able to give you more direction. But realistically, you really should be looking at something close to list price, because there just isn't inventory. And when I say inventory, I mean homes in certain price ranges. So for example, if you're a buyer and you want to look at homes between 200 and 250, that would be a category of inventory that you're looking at. And so the biggest thing is having realistic expectations about what you're putting your money into. Sometimes it is not a bad deal to pay asking price, right? Sometimes it's not a bad deal, right? If the house is fully done and it's beautiful and there's nothing wrong with it and you did your inspection and things go well and you think that, and honestly, the house is worth what it's worth, then it's not bad paying market price. Realistically, realtors get in to about 3 to 4% of listing price, usually with how good we have our data now. And we have a full MLS full of data. All of our sales are on the county website as well, even ones that aren't done through real estate transactions or realtors. So we just have access to a lot better pricing now, and things do tend to sell within 3 to 4% of list price, even in a seller's market.
Yeah, it seems a lot like I've talked to various friends and family members over the years where, you know, they're, you know, of course, the cliche, you know, always hoping to get a deal. And but now it's just like you described, like it's a high demand market. So everything sounds like going really close to asking price. And just that is the reality we're in.
Right. Yep. And I guess my third hack that I'd like to say to everyone watching is, don't just focus on residential. Right. Don't pigeonhole yourself just into looking at single family residential homes or condos or something like that. Expand your real estate horizon a little bit and think about where you could put your money that might be a good investment. So my advice is to look at multifamily properties that have rental potential. Look at commercial for sale. Look at how you could possibly move your business or improve your business by leasing something new, right? Not having the liability of owning a building, but negotiating a really good lease deal with a building owner, right? So there's just so many different things that you can do with real estate beyond just residential that if you're only focusing on residential, it's not bad. But if you're looking to really diversify and really expand, have those other expectations in those categories as well. So that's kind of my third tip is really explore your options with other types of real estate. For example, last year, we closed about a year ago. I had a friend who really wanted to buy a place, and it's just him and his girlfriend. So it's not like a big household or anything. He doesn't have a bunch of kids, or he has a couple dogs, but doesn't need a big place.
So they got room to get a little creative.
Right. So we got a little creative, and I said, well, why don't you look at duplexes? So we looked at a duplex, and they ended up buying a duplex, and they have a tenant on one side who's paying them basically almost their entire mortgage payment in rent, and then they're able to use that money to, you know, pay almost less than $500 mortgage is what they have to pay at the end of the day. And then they have to pay utilities, their own utilities. The tenants pay their own utilities. So that's a great deal. And then they have a two-bedroom, two-bath duplex that they live in. So for them, their quality of life is pretty much the same as having a two-bedroom, two-bath single-family home, right, that they could have bought for the same price. But at least at this point, they're making income off the other side, so they don't have very much of a payment. And this guy's able to save his money, able to invest in Bitcoin, able to do a lot of other things with his money because he's not spending his money on a rental payment or on a house payment. So it's just kind of expanding people's horizons, thinking about what they can actually do with their money. I guess the fourth tip that is really important that I have to let people know about is make sure that you get a really good lender. All right. Make sure you get a lender who will go to bat for you when appraisals come in tight, when valuations might be in question. Make sure you have somebody who's on your side, is responsive, right? Right now, things are super busy, so you got some lenders who are just swamped, right? You got to find a lender who, yeah, they may be swamped, but they're going to get back to you. And more importantly, and I mean, equally as important too, they're going to get back to us, right? The real estate agents who are asking them for information, right? It's really important to get a good lender who understands the real estate market, who understands appraisals, who understands how to do all that stuff and actually does it, right? And actually does the work. So many lenders, I think sometimes just get swamped and just don't, it's just hard to handle. You know, it's hard to handle everything. Your bank is only open certain amount of hours, right? So there's only a certain amount of things you can do within the time frame you're allowed from 8 to 5, because that's when the underwriters are there, right? I mean, so those are all things that they have constraints that kind of realtors don't. But you have to find a lender who's like, I know lenders who are able to pre-qualify on weekends. I know lenders who will open up their laptop at the lake to do a pre-approval because they don't care. They want to help people out. And so you got to find a good lender who's really willing to go to bat for you, figure out what you can qualify for, what programs are out there. You have to look at what programs there are. Some lenders offer like 0% FHA financing. We have some lenders. We have a lender that's coming up. We'll be able to talk about on the show soon, but we're going to be having a really great program for buyers out there that offers like free appraisals and things like that. So you have to really look out for what your lender's offering you. There's there's sometimes hard feelings because you know the lender and you stick with the bank because you already have an account there. Shop your rates. Not all lenders are the same. Not all lenders offer you the same loan terms. So you have to go out there and you have to shop the rate. And we can help you do that too. We have a list of lenders that we've qualified and that we've worked with before that we can provide you that you can call. You can call all 10 of them, all 12 of them, however many are on our list, and just ask for them for what they do and how they do business and see what you get back. So
no, that's awesome. Yeah, the Berkshire Hathaway has all the resources, so all potential people look for a loan can find make sure they have all the right tools to do the research, get the best rates possible for them.
The loan is the most important part. It's one of the more important parts. Unless you're paying cash and fortunate enough to pay cash, a loan is important. And even if you do have a large amount of cash, you know, maybe you'll be able to find a really good deal with a bank and pay a lower interest rate. I mean, there's so many different things. I've seen clients who switch in the middle of their transaction and save like $40,000 in interest over the life of the loan because they switched to a few percentage points lower on their interest rate. So it's always worth it to shop around.
Yeah, I really like how you mentioned, you know, don't be afraid to seek out a different bank than your own if they have better interest rates. I've done that before in the past. And like you said, the savings, you notice it.
Yep. And it does matter. You have to think about every percentage more you pay on your interest rate. It's about another $100 on your mortgage payment, right? So the difference between 4% and 5% is $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year, right? When you add that up, it really does matter. Obviously when you're younger and you want to, you know, I get this all the time. I want to travel. I want to do this. I want to do that. The one thing is that you can do real estate and travel. You can do both. There's so many options for real estate when people, kind of going back to my third point, there's so many options for people right now with real estate. You can buy a condo that you're able to rent out when you're not there, Airbnb when you're not there. That's a huge deal. Even in Grand Forks, we have a hockey team. We have hockey teams come to town. We have hotels that could book full. It does happen. So it doesn't mean that you can't make some money off of doing something like that. You know, we have so many events in town. There's so many different ideas that people can do. And there's just no shortage. So my specialty is I do commercial real estate and leasing. And then I also do residential as well, multifamily. But I think that now is the time to really think about investing in commercial, because I think commercial is going to really boom in the next few years as inventory from residential kind of shrinks. I mean, we're kind of seeing a crunch in residential. So let's say that building costs are up, there's not as many homes for sale, and you already live in a $500,000 house or a $300,000 house that you like, right? There's no house you are thinking about moving to later. Maybe your best move is to buy a local business. I mean, maybe there's a local business in town that needs new ownership and that you could be the captain of. I've done this in a few other places, not just in Grand Forks, but in St. Hilaire, there is a local who bought the bar there. And it just works out perfect for them because they really enjoy it. And it's kind of their thing. They didn't need a new house. They just wanted a new business venture.
And that's a great spot for people just wanting to warm up for a trip to the casino, too. That's a great kind of hidden bonus resource.
For example, we have the kegs for sale in Grand Forks. Berkshire Hathaway, we have the kegs listed. And that'd be a great business for somebody. It's right in downtown. That brand new grocery store is right down the street. There's a lot of redevelopment happening in that area. So somebody could turn that $220,000 property and really make it even bigger and better than it is now. It already has great food. It already has great attractions. People love going there. It's on a main road in town. It's right on the same road as a major high school. You know, kids leaving for lunch, anything. I mean, if somebody could buy it, make it year round or do something cool like that. I mean, there could be so many different things that people can do. And $220,000 in the grand scheme of the real estate world is just not that much. I mean, it's still a big investment, but it's not that unattainable for the regular person to do.
Yeah, that and the kegs is just, it's like an institution, you know,
it's in so Grand good. Forks. Yeah, it is. And we have those institutions, and I think people really value those. And I think that even putting a price on it is kind of hard, you know, how do you put a price on something? But it's just the people's ability and wanting to improve and wanting to do better things in Grand Forks, which is really cool. We're really unique up here in Grand Forks, where I feel like we do have a bigger sense of community because we are more close-knit and we do care about things that are happening here. I'm sure that everyone's knows the political drama that's happening in the city right now, East Grand Forks and Grand Forks, both, you know, everything that's going on and obviously elections coming up and things like that. But we all do stick together, tend to stick together. And I think that if everyone can kind of just have this pro-growth mindset that we can do these things in Grand Forks and we can renovate buildings and have, you know, better investments, that I think regular people can do that too. And anyone can do it, really.
Absolutely. So should we recap the proper steps here for your I got on here? Find a really good lender. Explore more than residential. Be realistic going into the market there. And know your brokerage.
Yep. Really know your brokerage. Ask your agent, you know, what kind of listings do you get every week? Like, how many listings does your brokerage have every week, right? That kind of takes the pressure off the agent a little bit, because maybe the agent just isn't as busy right this second, because that does happen sometimes. So instead of catching the agent off guard, or maybe just say, how many listings does your brokerage get a week, right? Mm-hmm. How many listings can I expect to see fresh from your brokerage every week that I can look at, and I know that you know the agent that works across the hall from you, right? That does matter in real estate. And not saying that, I mean, I do in transactions all the time where it's not with Berkshire agent. All the time. I mean, I work with Greenberg, Crary agents all the time because we have what's called a cooperating broker agreement, which means that we can work with each other. So it's actually any agent that you pick, really, I mean, just make sure that they're serving your needs and meeting your needs. And if they're not, then you need to have a conversation with them. And if they still don't meet your needs, then you got to call a different agent.
Right on. Yeah, sounds real important to have access to the latest numbers. So
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Before we wrap up today, Ben, can you please fill everyone in for the best way to contact you?
Yep, 701-318-2676 is my phone number, or you can go to Ben Olson, GrandForksFamilyRealty.com. So you can search that on Google too. I have a Google page, Facebook page, Ben Olson, Associate Broker, BHHS. I'm on TikTok, Ben Olson Real Estate. So you can kind of find me anywhere. Just Google search my name, Ben Olson Grand Forks, and you should find me.
Exactly. Just like I said, it all comes down for easy access, and you definitely have it there with all those options.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. So, and that is a wrap for your Wednesday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast. Many thanks again to Ben Olson for joining us today, and many thanks to producer Paul. We will be back with Ben Olson again this Friday morning at 10. Until then, goodbye for now.